The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
Here, I know. If you got your Bibles, oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I told you, it's Miracle Sunday. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, hold them high up in the air today. Make this declaration of faith out loud. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. I receive the word of God with faith. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You sound amazing. You may be seated. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book. Come on, y'all, get ready to shout. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35. Come on. Hey! Say, why you do that? We love the word of God around here. Amen. Romans, chapter 8. Today, I want to continue a series of messages that we've been looking at for the last number of weeks called On Becoming Unstoppable. What we mean by that is that from the moment you were born in by your mother, conceived in your mother's womb, there's been a war against you, a cosmic war. This war is set to stop you. The enemy, the devil, has set himself. The Bible talks about he's got schemes to stop you and to hold you back. But what we know is through the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, God is ready to break the power of the devil off of our lives so that we can walk in victory. Do you believe that today? Give the Lord a great big hand of praise today. Come on now. And so on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to talk to you about how we can tap into the resurrection victory that Jesus had. That it's not just a victory of him, but I want to show you through the word of God that God wants to bring that victory to you. But before I continue the message, I want you to give your attention to the screen for a short video to illustrate the message. God bless you. Why don't you give the Lord a great big hand? This video alludes to 2020. I know for some that may seem like a long time ago. But what we find is that our nation and really around the world, there has been a trauma released. What we walk through and what we've been walking through, it seems like one thing after another. It's quite a bit different today how things are operating. Even prior to what happened there in 2020. Sociologists say that there has been a corporate, national, international trauma that has afflicted people. And what has happened is this, is that many people's thoughts and vision and hopes and dreams have been lessened. Because of this trauma response, we seek to just hope to barely get by, sometimes waiting for the next shoe to drop. But can I tell you something today? That Jesus's victory over death, hell, the grave, the devil, was not just the victory that he won, but rather it is something that every one of us in this room can walk in. Can I hear an amen in the house? And today I want to talk to you about how Christ's victory that is seen in the empty tomb can also be yours in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 38, Paul is talking to the Roman church. And as the fires of persecution were spreading throughout the world, it was at this time legal to kill someone just simply because they named Christ as their Lord. These were a people now at ground zero of persecution. Many of them being afflicted from the outside, but yet they have their own internal struggles, as this being one of the first churches that had a mixture of both Jewish Christians as well as non-Jewish Christians attending the same church and trying to work out their faith with each other. So there were pressures. Pressures from within and great pressures from without. But in the midst of all of that, you would think that the church would become defeated, lower their expectation, expect the next bad thing. But Paul, as he uses chapter 8 of the book of Romans as kind of a transition from his argument, he begins to talk to them about victory. He begins to talk to them about how that in the midst of external situations, they can still have a mindset that they're going to win, that they're going to be a conqueror. There may be people here today. You're in a situation right now that seems like it's so bad, it's gone on for so long that it's kind of always been like this, Pastor John. But I want to say these words to you. I want you to follow along here in Romans 8, as Paul is talking to these folks who are in the midst of a horrible external and internal situation. He says this concerning their attitude, and he's going to be talking to them about God. He said, "Who can separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" These are all these things. He's going to say, verse 36, "For just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. And we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Wow, what a dark picture he's painting here with these words. As he's describing not a hypothetical issue, but rather real life problems. Are today we see inflation rising, people with job insecurities, rumors of recessions and wars and the geopolitical upheavals. We see banks falling and different things that are happening that are causing people to become unstable. But as Paul lists these dark things that are happening, I want you to draw your attention to verse 37. He says, "But in all these things," somebody say all these things. "But in all these things, in all these dark, negative, horrible things that they're in," he says, "we," and this is going to be counter to what you would expect. This is going to be counter to what you would think. He said, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. He says, for I am convinced. I love this terminology. I ask that it get right in your spirit. I ask that you allow these words to get inside of you. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. I mean, he's trying to exhaust the list of things happening then to things happening now. He says, I'm convinced that none of these things, come on, are able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somebody give God a hand of praise today. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these next few moments. Lord, as we assess your scripture and your word, I pray that it would get applied to our hearts. I pray for those that are in this room today that feel surrounded by negativity and darkness, hopelessness, things that would cause them to shrink back. God, I thank you that you're empowering your church today, that regardless of what's around us, we can become unstoppable through you because you love us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, one of the effects of the resurrection of Jesus is that his victory over Satan makes us, those of us who are believers, makes us unstoppable. One of the views of the atonement, as you study theology, is something that was termed by a German theologian called Christus Victor. It was actually a Latin term that just means Christ the Victor. And it was the idea that characterizes much of the language of the New Testament that and early church fathers like Irenaeus that would bring out themes of victory that God would bring in our lives over evil powers, namely Satan. And this victory is a reality. Somebody say it's real. It's real. But it's a reality that's ours potentially, but it requires us to renew our heart, to renew our mind, that God has called us to walk in victory. Can I hear an amen? So today I want to just kind of share a few things, primarily from Romans chapter 8, verse 37, about developing this mindset. You see, Paul had to remind them of this victory because though this victory is a reality, the point is in for it to come into my reality, I have to believe. You see, we get infected by unbelief. We get infected by fear. I talked about this a lot, but there's something that sociologists study called atheistic believers. What is that? What is an atheistic believer? What is an atheistic Christian? An atheistic Christian is someone that believes that God is going to save them from hell and give them access to heaven, but yet they still suffer under the same fears, the same anxiety that everybody else out there in the world. They live their day-to-day life just like an atheist would, scared of the same things. And the paradox is that as believers who trust that God is going to save me from hell and give me access to heaven, I should also know that God's going to take care of my today, that God's going to help me today, that God's going to give me victory today. Can I hear an amen? So how can we develop it? I want to give you four things to maybe help you to renew your mind to certain truths. And so if you've got a pencil and piece of paper, I want you to jot down 1 through 4. These are four things from this verse that we see that can help us become these unstoppable victors that Jesus talked about. And the first thing I just want you to write down, point number one, is these things, end quote, these things happen. Paul said, in these things, in the midst of them. There used to be a slogan years ago, and it's an expletive I won't use, but blank happens. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Blank happens. Well, it does happen. Bad things happen. Horrible things happen. The Bible does not paint a picture that once you get saved, you're never going through anything, because that is simply not the truth. Years ago, I read a book called Winning. It was written by a guy who had put on for years great big events. He would go to Colosseums that would seat 50,000, 75,000, 100,000, and would put on events that were gigantic. This is what his job was, what his company was. And he talked about how that in the midst of putting on all of these types of events, there was always something that happened. He tells the story of how one time they had to set up 25,000 chairs. And the stage was at this end of the Colosseum, and 25,000 chairs had to be set up. He showed up the day before the event, and all 25,000 chairs were facing the wrong way. The platform was here. The chairs were facing that direction. He talked about how that one time they had booked a speaker. It was going to be one of their main speakers for this event. He had told the name of the person that they wanted to supposed to contact. So they contacted the name of that speaker, and that speaker agreed, signed the contract. They had the hotel and the airfare and all that. And so all of a sudden it comes time for that speaker to show up, and a man comes up to them and says, "Hello, I'm your speaker." It was the wrong person. Same name, wrong human. One person, they showed up, they booked this person, they were going to be a speaker at an event, and it came up time for them to be right there in the event, and the person's not there. They call and they say, "Where are you at?" They said, "I'm in the city that you said." It was the same name, but a different place. They had two cities with the same name. He was in the wrong city. And what happens is that you go through events like that, and you go through some bad times, and you say, "Well, I'm kind of a loser. Things don't work out for me. I can't do anything right because this bad thing happened." What often happens is we forget the 99 things that went right, and we focus on the one or two things in our life that went wrong. And we start saying things like, "Nothing ever works right for me." Well, that's not true. Lots of things worked right for you. You probably went to the bathroom. Your colon worked really good today. You had lots of things that worked good for you. But what happens is because we go through these things, we think we're a loser. We think we're defeated. We think God doesn't care about us because we had one or two or maybe a few things. Maybe they were big. We as a church, we put on events. We put on big events and have done it for years. I can't tell you how many. I bet we're getting close to a million eggs I've given away over the years of being in the ministry for egg hunts. But with all of the egg hunts, no matter what we do or other types of events, we always have something that happens. Do you know I'm always surprised by those that work with me? They'll pick the one or two things that went wrong and just focus on that negative instead of looking at all the things we did right. What is that? We get a mindset of defeat. We get a mindset of focusing on the negative. And Apostle Paul said, "Yeah, we got all these bad things happening and going on in our lives." He said, "But that doesn't mean we're defeated. That doesn't mean we're in trouble." He said, "No, right smack in the midst of all of these things, we are going to overwhelmingly conquer in Jesus' name." Somebody give the Lord a great big hand. Jesus is very honest about our life. If you'll keep your finger there in Romans 8, turn to John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus is going to say some words that I wish weren't true. But they are. He says these things. I think it's interesting, the same words here used that Paul used. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. He's talking about all the negativity and dark things that were going to happen. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. That's a truth. That is a fact. In this world is full of that. He said, but take courage. Come on, somebody. I have overcome the world. His victory becomes yours. Can I hear an amen? So I want to encourage you today to not allow the negativity and the dark things that happen around us. Don't allow them to get inside of you. They may have happened to you, but they don't define you. Can I hear an amen? The second thing I want you to see from this verse is that God has empowered you. Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. God has empowered you to win big. Somebody say big. This past few weeks, there's been the NCAA tournament. And while it's super exciting to see these teams come down to the last, you know, few seconds, and then, you know, the last shot goes in and a team just barely squeaks out a victory, that's awful exciting. But that's not what Paul said God wants to do with them. Paul said God doesn't just want you to survive. He said God doesn't just want you to win. I want you to look at these words. He said in God, in Christ, you are going to overwhelmingly conquer somebody. Come on, somebody. You're not just going to make it. I've had people say, oh, Pastor John, it's just one day at a time. Sweet Jesus. Y'all know that song? Oh, I'm just a making it, Pastor John. How you doing? Well, it's just one step in front of the other. Doing what I can to tread water. Well, sometimes that is a miracle. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes that's pretty good. But can I tell you, that is just simply not what God has in mind for you. God's not just wanting you to make it. And God's not just wanting you to squeak out a victory. God says that when I show up on your scene, you're not just going to make it. You're not just going to win, but you are going to win big in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? That's simply a mindset that as many people have lost nowadays. Since COVID, really, I've noticed as a pastor that people, you know, they've really stopped dreaming. They stopped having a lot of hope. They stopped wanting to rise up. And you can understand, you keep getting hit as hard as we've been. And it just seems like since then, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just my perspective. But it seems, man, it just seems like some dark things. And man, when's it going to stop? When are we going to get back to some kind of normal? Then they start talking to you about having a new normal. Now, their new normal is expect bad things. It ain't going to be like it was. And by that, they mean it ain't going to be as good as it was. You need to tone down your belief. You need to tone down your expectation to rise up. But can I tell you today that I do believe God wants us to have a new normal in our mindset, but it's not a new normal of defeat. It's not a new normal of going under. It's not a new normal of trouble, but it is a new normal to say that God is not just going to help me to win, but I'm about to win big in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. We see this illustrated in Psalm 91. You might keep your finger there again at Romans 8. Go to Psalm 91. Verse 15, very powerful verse of scripture. Psalm 91, 15, it says, and he will call upon me and I will answer him. But look at what God says. God says, I will be with him in trouble. Now, if you were to stop this verse right there, if that verse ended in a period right there, this is still a really good verse. How many are grateful that God's with us when we're in trouble? Oh, I'm telling you what, I can tell you there have been times I've been in trouble, and the very presence of God, just to know God's with me, just to know God's there with me, to know God's helping me. Can I hear an amen? There's a comfort in that. But you know this verse doesn't stop right there with God's with me in trouble. No, it goes on to say, God says, I will be with him in trouble and I will rescue him. Come on, somebody. That God doesn't just want to let you know I'm going to be with you. God didn't just say I'm going to be with you and we're just going to walk through this and it's never going to get any better. No, God says I'm coming, and when I show up in your life, I'm not just showing up so you can stay in that trouble. I'm showing up so you can get out. Can I hear an amen? But you know that verse doesn't even end there. He doesn't just say I'm going to be with you. And he doesn't just say I'm going to deliver you. But he says, I'm going to honor you. Can I hear an amen? That means that when God comes in our life, that when God comes and he comes to help us, yes, he's going to be with us. And there's the comfort and there's the strength that we get from God being with us. But then God delivers us. But you know, that deliverance kind of, you know, gets you back to zero. It gets you back to level. But God says, when I come in your life, I'm not just coming to get you back to zero again. God says, I'm coming because I'm about to raise you up. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to help you to win and win big in Jesus' name. Do you believe that today? Come on, do you believe that today, church? I do. I believe God knows how to honor his people no matter what the situation. Go back to Romans 8 if you don't mind. Romans 8, he says that we, in these things, in the midst of the negative, in the midst of the disappointment, that as we're there, that God's going to help us to overwhelmingly conquer. How? Through him. Somebody say through him. Point number three is it's through God. Now this verse has a particular meaning to me. It means something to me. Because I know that in John, there's not much good that should cause him to win. You know, I was thinking about this, and years ago, you know, I look at my life and my past, some things that I've done. I grew up poor. I grew up in housing project, government housing type thing, situation. Bunch of poor kids. And as a result, I can tell you all kinds of things I did bad. I was thinking about this morning. I probably owe Target about several thousand dollars of all the things I've stole from Target. As a kid, I liked comic books. You know, so back in the day, they used to sell comic books in plastic bags. They'd have them in plastic bags. So I'd bring a razor and some tape and have it in my pocket. And I would go and cut all the bags of all the comic books and then stick them in a new bag. So now it's like really thick. And then tape it back like it was made that way. And then I would go to the place and I would buy one comic book, but there was like six in there. I have stunned you. You think less of me now. I can feel the judgment that's emanating. Over the years, I learned how to. We'd go to a store, grocery store, a little convenience store. You remember those chunky candy bars? You know, little chunky? They fit really good in your pocket. So I'd go and we'd go there. My little buddies would do a distraction over here. I mean, we were like organized crime. Little distraction over there, and there'd be one of us. We'd be putting these chunkies in our pocket. And then we'd go and we'd buy one. Because they saw us over there. We'd buy one, walk out with 10. Boy, y'all got to forgive me or something. I've shocked you. And that's some of the benign stuff that I've done. There's stuff I've done in my past that I don't want anybody to know. I've earned every bad thing that could ever happen to me. I've earned it. So when I hear God saying, I want to bring you to victory, I don't deserve victory. I deserve every bad thing. So he says, God's going to help you conquer. And I want to exclude myself because I'm like, you don't know what I've done. And God says, you don't know what I've done. I'm not going to do this to you because you're so good. I'm going to do this for you because he was so good. I'm not going to do this because you earned it. I'm going to do it because he earned it. Come on, somebody. You see, the victory that you can experience, with all due respect, it's not because of you. It's not because you were good enough. It's not because you earned it. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not alone in this room of having things that I've done in my past where I've earned every bad thing. But I'm here to tell you right now, because of what Jesus did for us, we can thank God because of his grace and his mercy. God says, I want to bring you to victory. Does anybody believe that? Come on, somebody, give God a hand of praise today. It's through him. It's not because of your persuasion. It's not because of your own righteousness. It's not because you earned it. It's because he did. I said it's because he did. Because Jesus went to that cross. He paid the price. He won the victory. And then handed it right to you in the name of the Lord. Anybody grateful for that today? I said, is anybody grateful for that today? I love this scripture in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was given a mission to do something great for God, but yet, like many of us, there was reasons why he couldn't succeed. He had inferiorities. He had weaknesses. He had things like any of us in this room have. And God had given him a mission. And he was like, God, how am I going to win? I don't have what it takes to win. I don't have what it takes to succeed. And he says, you tell Zerubbabel. He says, it is not by might. It is not by power. He said, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. What does that say to us? That you and I can walk in victory, but I don't have to be strong enough. I don't have to be good enough. All I have to do is depend on his spirit in Jesus' name. Can I say this to you, sir? Can I say this to you, ma'am? You aren't strong enough to do what God told you to do. You don't have what it takes to be what God's called you to be. But he never expected that in the first place. He always knew when he spoke those things to you and the plan he has for you that you and I were always going to have to depend upon him, because he then gets the glory and we just say, God, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, lift your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to do it in the name of the Lord. And finally, if everyone could stand all over the house today. He says we're going to do it. Romans 8:37. Through Christ who loves us. Pat yourself on the chest and say, God loves me. You don't know what I've done, Pastor John. Pat yourself on the chest. God loves me. You see, Paul in the next verse, he's going to say, I'm convinced of this. I'm not questioning this anymore. When you question the love of God in your life, you'll start to wonder, will he come through for me? Will he help me? But when you know that you know that you know, I mean know down here in your knower. I don't know how else to say it. That's how we say it in Kentucky. I know in my knower, I don't deserve his love. I don't. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you, I don't. But I know he loves me. I know he loves me. Can I hear an amen? Let me say something else to you. I don't care where you're from, what your family's like. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are. I don't care what your education level is. God loves you. Can I hear an amen? He loves you today. And Paul said, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. He goes on later on and begins to say this in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 17. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Well, these last few weeks, we've had some storms that have done horrible damage. We've seen trees and other things topple over. Things that we thought were rooted aren't. Can I tell you something today? When you get rooted and grounded in the love of God. I remember I was a kid, you know, I didn't want to hear about God's love. I want to hear about how we can rip heads off of giants. That's what I want. I didn't realize there's power in just, he loves me. He loves me. He said, when you get rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love. Everybody say, know the love that surpasses knowledge. That makes no sense. How can I know something I can't know? Well, most people miss it by 18 inches, the distance between their head and their heart. He says you're going to know what you can't know. See, I know all the reasons why he shouldn't love us in here, but in here, I know he loves us. Can I hear an amen? I ask you to bow your head, close your eyes today. Maybe you're in this room and you would say to me, Pastor John, man, the stuff around me is so dark. Maybe you're dealing with grief, pain. Maybe you're going through some stuff and you're like, Pastor John, it's been so long and it's been so hard. And I just feel defeated. I feel like I've lost my vision. I've lost my zeal. I've lost my zest for life. Can I tell you today, God wants you to be unstoppable. He wants to bring you to victory. But if you would say to me, Pastor John, I need God to turn some things around in my life. I need God to give me a miracle today. I want you to slip your hand up right where you're at. Just slip your hand up all over the house today. Lots of hands going up. And God, I just need you to help me right now. God, I just need you to help me. Put your hand on your chest. Say this out loud with me. Say, Father God, I thank you today that you love me. And I ask that you would help me to renew my mind, that you want me to win and to win big. And you didn't cause these things to happen in my life, but you sure know how to fix them. And I ask you to help me today to regain my strength, my hope, my belief that good things are coming to my life in Jesus' name. Now, I just want you to just receive this prayer. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. God, I pray for those that are in this house today. God, that are just going through some junk right now that you didn't cause, but you sure know how to fix. And I thank you, God, that you're going to be with them in the midst of their trouble. But God, you're also going to deliver them, and you're also going to honor them today. And Father, right smack in the midst of this, God, I ask you to renew our mind that we are going to overwhelmingly conquer. We're not just going to survive this thing. We're not just going to squeak out a victory. But God, today, whatever it is that we're facing, God, we're going to walk in overwhelming victory in Jesus' name, and you're going to get all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Do you believe that today? Come on, somebody. Bless the Lord this morning.
Become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a kingdom building partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.